And now, Mystery Theater.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Outside the Straits of Gibraltar, to the northwest of Cadiz, lie some of Spain's most beautiful beaches, protected by island sandbars. And to the south of Cadiz, the towering mountains begin to rise, on one of which, Monte Alegre, is the hacienda which holds the heart of this story. Approaching it by car at this moment are Chad Reynolds and Elizabeth Monroe.
But you haven't told me about the Señora Escobar.
La Doña?
To give her a full title? Oh, no. She's not to be mentioned.
Why not?
Because she is dead. You remember that little loggia I showed you cut into the mountain?
The wedding present.
It turned out to be her tombstone also.
Our mystery drama, The Devil's Leap, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Mercedes McCambridge. All men love beauty in a woman. America has worshipped a long line of beauty queens, sex symbols, love goddesses. And today, as of this moment, one of the, perhaps the best loved, is Elizabeth Monroe. Sitting with her agent Mark Burns, a longtime friend, at a table at Madrid's brightest, newest, and most expensive nightclub, La Ronda.
What's the matter, Liz?
What?
You're not eating.
Oh, no, Oh, stop worrying about me. I'm washed out.
You shouldn't have let me book you into this place.
Oh, don't be silly. I was here for retakes on the picture, and I had this... Well, I wanted to sing again, Mark. I mean, in front of people.
Listen, you could go home, take the Hollywood Bowl, and fill it and get your heart's desire. A little wine?
All right. No, I didn't mean that. I meant... Oh,
hey, you spilled it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm the one sorry.
Well, why did you start so and turn away like that?
I just didn't want that boy crossing the dance floor to see me.
You mean Joe College or whatever he is?
I mean Don Pedro Escobar de Villarmo.
Oh, okay. So outside of his name, what's his particular problem?
It's just that he hates me.
He's male and he hates you?
Enough to kill me. And with reason. When I think of what I once had to do to that boy, I... Mark, I can't stay here. Come on. I'll have to go back to my dressing room.
Okay, Liz, I'll bring the dinner back here. Why the sudden flight?
I told you, Mark. It's that boy.
Are you really afraid of him? Maybe I better...
No, not physically. It isn't like that. If he's going to be in the audience tonight... I don't want to sing.
Well, that's not in the contract, Liz. Two shows a night, dinner and supper at a queen's stipend. Not enough for you, but it's what you insisted on signing. You should be taking a rest between pictures. Who needs this?
I told you. I had an unstoppable yen to go back to my beginnings, to be with people. Something that lives and breathes and reacts so that you can feel it. It began a long time before you found me. I couldn't get anywhere at home, but here in Europe they liked me as a singer. And it was here, in Spain, in Cadiz, that I had my first really big success. What was I then? Well, not all that young, really. I was 27, I guess. Have you ever been in Cadiz, Mark, in the height of summer? The water's a dancing fire, sparkling 1,000 colors under that burnished sun. The skies are high and blue and cloudless, and the faces of the people shine with love and laughter. One night at dusk, one of my most insistent suitors, a party boy from the American jet set with too much money and too little else, was driving me to a weekend party at the Hacienda Monte Alegre, which is the home of Don Emilio Escobar de Villarmo. Oh, Chad, for heaven's sake, take it easy on the curves.
Have no fear, lady. I wouldn't risk a hair on that blonde and lovely head.
Well, I'm just a hard-working nightclub singer who's looking for a restful weekend.
I don't promise you rest at Monte Allegro. It's apt to be more fiesta, I hope.
Well, it'll be a change of scene anyway. Are we getting near it?
Yep, very soon now, around this next bend. Hey, look up there at the mountain as we go across the bridge over the gorge.
Hmm?
You see that little loggio up there, like an eagle's nest?
Yes. Oh, it looks like it's cut right out of the mountain.
It was, by Don Emilio. Wedding present for his wife. Oh, there's the most magnificent view from there. Cadiz to the north, Gibraltar to the south, and the whole Atlantic beyond the sandbars, stretching into infinity.
Ah, what a lovely wedding present.
Yeah, only backfired. Turned out to be a pretty deadly one.
Why, what do you mean?
Oh, let's drop it, Liz.
What do I call my host?
Well, if you want to be very formal, it's Senor Escobar. More intimately, or I mean informally, Don Emilio.
Well, which do you suggest?
It's up to you. You're going to find him unbending, remote, and very much in the tradition of the Spanish grande.
And the rest of his household?
One son. His only son, Don Pedro. His nickname is Perico. He just came back from a year as an exchange student at Princeton. That's how I met the family, through my kid brother knowing Perico. He's a strange guy. He's shy and intelligent, but he... Well, just let's leave it. He's strange.
How old is he?
About 17, I guess. He's kind of young in a lot of ways for his age.
17? I'm surprised. He's a very young son for Don Emilio, because he's not that young.
Oh, well, he seems older than he is. He's had quite a bit of sadness in his life. But come on, Liz, I don't want to depress you.
You haven't told me about Senora Escobar.
Ah, La Doña. Well, she's not to be mentioned.
Oh, why not?
Because she's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it recently?
No, 5 years or so ago. Look, you remember that little loggia I told you about?
The wedding present?
Oh, yeah. It turned out to be her tombstone also.
What?
The road down to it is closed up. No one goes there anymore. The natives think it's haunted. They call it El Salto de Diablo.
You mean the Devil's Leap?
That's right. One night 5 or 6 years ago, part of the balustrade gave way, and Don Emilio's wife fell 1,000 feet down the mountain from there to her death.
Well, you're certainly making this weekend sound less and less attractive.
Well, to compensate, I guess, Don Emilio has surrounded himself ever since his wife's death with color and gaiety and young people. That's why he asked me to bring you. You'll see.
Oh, look, look, look. Oh, how gorgeous that is. I don't know how to describe it.
The famous carnations of Monte Alegre.
Oh.
Don Emilio's hobby. I suppose there isn't a color or variety he doesn't grow. They were her favorite flower. They say that when she was found, she had a blood-red one clasped in one hand.
And that was how I first came to the Hacienda Monte Alegre, the happy mountain. And my host, Don Emilio, I found to be gracious and formal, less cold than Chad had led me to be. And while he stood aloof from the merriment, it was not he who brought the chill with the coming of dusk, as if the ghosts of long-gone days still lurked in the shadowed halls. No, the most tragic ghost of all was the pale, intense young man
with the great liquid brown eyes, who hovered on the edge of the gaiety as though haunted and unbearably sad. Hello, Don Pedro.
Señorita.
We haven't had much of a chance to talk since we met.
I am not a very good talker. I saw you talking to my father.
Yes, naturally. He's my host.
Yes, but...
But what, Don Pedro?
Please, it is formal. You will call me Perico, perhaps. Please, Senorita Monroe.
All right. It's a very nice name. And I am Elizabeth.
Elizabetta.
my friends call me Liz.
I want to be your friend. Would you want to promenade in the garden before the light goes?
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you. So much smoke in here and noise, and those are two things I want to get away from.
Come with me, Senor. Liz. I must talk with you.
Even in this fading light, they are still so beautiful.
Los claveles.
I beg your pardon?
Carnations. They were my mother's favorite flower. Would you like to see where she died, Señorita Liz?
Why, I...
I want to show you. Because I think you should leave here tonight, now. If I asked you to, would you?
Why, Perico, I can't. I'm a guest.
You will come with me, so you will understand why you must live here.
I went with him, almost mesmerized. I don't know why. I should have thought of danger with this strange, intense, tightly wound boy. It's like the mainspring of a watch ready to snap, like an explosion waiting to occur. But there was something so appealing about him. So I followed him. Beyond the carnations to a gap between the rocks, now boarded up by a heavy oaken door. But he veered to the left of it. And then after a moment, he moved aside a heavy rock that swung on a pivot. And we went through and down some steps in front of us until we emerged onto a flat stage that hung almost suspended in space, with a summer house built against the mountain and then a balustrade guarding the drop below. And with a start in the twilight, I realized that I was on the Devil's Leap, the spot Chad had shown me from the road below. Why did you bring me here, Perico?
Because I had to warn you. There is death here, Liz. My father desires you. I could see it in his eyes.
Don Emilio? Oh, really? You...
I do not joke. I know my father. He kills everything he loves. And I do not want you to die as my mother died. Come here to the balustrade, and I will show you.
In the half-glow of twilight, there is something strange and terrifying about this tortured young man. What wild fancy has opened up his shyness and made him pick on Liz to bring to this deadly spot? I'll be back shortly with Act Two. Instinctively, Liz clings to the solid safety of the loggia, backed by the mountain. Invitingly outlined by the last reflected glare of the sun, which has just set, Perico stands by the low balustrade, a few scant inches from a plunge of over 1,000 feet.
You are in danger here.
From your father? Oh, I can't believe that.
Can you believe that 5 years ago, by the time I was 12... my mother lay down there, 1,100, 1,200 feet down, crushed and broken on the rocks.
Yes, I've heard that she had an accident, that the balustrade gave way.
It was no accident. My father threw her over because he had tired of her. The balustrade was broken later to make it seem like an accident.
Perico. Oh, how can you think such things about your father? You, of all people, should be able to see how your mother's death very nearly destroyed him.
Not her death. His guilt.
Well, how can I argue with you? But I am sorry for you.
Sorry for me? Why?
To live with such hate locked up inside you. Oh, look.